Nikita Koloff here, the devil's worst nightmare, with the Man Up podcast, where we talk to real men who have real stories, who realize it is time to man up. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
I am just really looking forward to this show today. We have on Kingdom Pursuits some more poster children for how does God take your passion and use it to build the kingdom. It's always amazing to meet people that I get to see where God's doing these things. So first off, we have Mary Holloman, and she is the communications director at the Pregnancy Network, and they got a virtual gala, like their banquet sort of thing, going on right now. It's going to be going on through Friday the 30th, which just happens to be my birthday. That's how I know it's Friday.
Happy early birthday.
But welcome, Mary.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
And the Pregnancy Network, right? You guys have been expanding and you got a lot going on. You've been there for 8 years?
Yeah, I've been there for about 8 years now, and it's really exciting. We just closed on a new property last month in downtown Winston-Salem, and we're planning to open January 2021 new services to women in that part of the triad.
And I can't think of a more appropriate time to get your message out, right? This subject's on a lot of people's hearts right now. And I think you're going to hear some amazing, beautiful stories today. That's what I love to hear, of how God has worked through the Pregnancy Network when it comes to lives that like are impacted for generations and generations and generations, when that requires leadership. So next up, we have Dr. Ricardo Bodden. And he has written a new book called Leadership. Actually, it just came out in September. Leadership in the Age of Narcissism. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you so very much, Robbie. So great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, what a neat title. And I know a few narcissists.
I'm sure you do.
And, you know, this is a topic that's really been on my heart a lot recently, and so I'm very excited to get into, and I noticed in your book, you know, this whole concept of what Jesus taught on leadership that is just so critical, even in our homes, right?
Absolutely. And that is one of the things I wanted to actually try to actually teach and educate people on, is that leadership is holistic to life, not just the job, you know, because people say that, well, I have to be in a leadership position on my job to be a leader. That's actually not true. Leadership is what, if you name the name of Christ, if you're a Christian, if you raise your hand to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's a scriptural basis that is clear to the point that says, hey, that you are called to be a leader.
There you go. So you haven't been to this part of my show yet, Doctor, but you just have to... I don't know, how should I put it? You just have to
trust,
groan, and just be with me. You know, it's just part of the joy of being on Kingdom Pursuit. So those who know me know I got to have a riddle, and I do. And so,
okay.
Beth Ann, these are a little off color. You'll understand in a minute. But speaking of leadership, why does President Trump compare his leader? He never compares his leadership to Steve Jobs. Have you ever thought about that?
No, I have not.
I bet you've never heard him do that. Have you heard him do that, Doctor?
No, I have not.
Of course not. You know why? Because even President Trump knows you never compare apples and oranges.
No. See, you groan, Doctor, just like you said.
Wow. Very clever.
And so, you know, I actually have a very excellent example of leadership, Beth Ann. An actual story. Like, we love stories. Like, we're going to hear from the Pregnancy Network in a minute. So, I'll never forget when I applied for my job here at the Truth Network. I've never told this story on the air before, but Stu asked me, he said, Robbie, can you give me an example of excellent leadership skills? And I said, Stu, sure. I'm hired.
Oh, you hired yourself.
When it worked in your favor.
And then he said, you're fired.
All right. No. So you knew at the end of that I would actually have a riddle, a Bible riddle, and I've got one that I just tickles me, so if nobody else, I'm tickled. And all you got to do to call in and win today is answer this. Which leader in the Bible, he just simply could not follow the directions to keep off the grass. Which leader in the Bible just simply could not, and I'll give you a hint, it's in the Old Testament, okay? Near the end of it, actually. Which leader in the Bible could not follow the directions to keep off the grass? 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH in Bethann.
Oh!
Tell them what they'll win if they...
Robbie! This is exciting. We're going to dig right in, and guess what we've got in there? We have got a copy of Dr. Ricardo Bodden's book, Leadership in the Age of Narcissism, God's Blueprint for Christian Leaders. That's what they'll win, Robbie!
Yeah, so you've been... leadership in the Bible, you know about this grass incident, which really just speaks to the whole topic, right, Doctor? If you know who I'm talking about, I mean, he had obviously not a copy of your book, because I'm pretty sure he was a narcissist.
Right, absolutely.
866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. So, Mary, let's just jump in. I want to hear a story.
Yeah. Sure. Well, just a little background. I began at the Pregnancy Network as a volunteer. I was doing things like being the receptionist and helping teach some Bible studies and meet one-on-one with clients. Eventually, a job opened up, and I applied and received a position as the client services director. And so what that means is that I was able to work one-on-one with clients and volunteers. Easily the most difficult job I've ever had, but also the most rewarding. I took a little bit of time off to have my children and then came back in a part-time capacity as communications director, which is where I am now. But kind of in that interim, I was able to meet a woman, and her name is Janine. And her story is one of my favorites, and I feel really privileged to have been a part of it. So I met with her when she first came to us, and she had found herself in an unplanned pregnancy. She was a Christian, but had just made some poor choices and was very regretful of those decisions. But when we met together, she was very adamant that she had no choice other than abortion. And her reasons were very similar to a lot of what we hear from women. She was a student trying to finish school. And she was just like, Mary, there's no way I can finish school and pursue my career, pursue my dreams if I have this baby. The father does not want to be involved. I would be a single mother. I can't do it. And so we hear that a ton, and so we sat together and talked about, let's look at what your options really are. Let's help you make a fully informed decision. And we talked about some of the different services we could offer her. We gave her a free ultrasound and talked about community resources and ways that we could help her and provide some of her physical, practical needs. And so she saw the ultrasound and was able to see the heartbeat, and which is always a game changer for women, and it really shook her. I remember that very specifically. But she said to me, and I could see the tension in her face. She was like, I know I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't choose an abortion. But I just don't feel like there's a real option for me moving forward. I don't think I can handle it. I don't think I can do it. So we talked and prayed together. And when she left, she had her picture of her ultrasound. She was smiling when she looked at it, but she was still on the fence. And so usually when a woman leaves, we try to keep in contact, keep calling her, texting her to see if she'd like to continue talking about her decision. And so that's what we did. And over the course of the next few weeks, we texted and stayed in contact. And finally, she texted me one day and she said, Mary, I just want you to know I've decided to carry and parent this baby. And so I was thrilled, of course. And so we kind of worked out some resources for her and ways we could help her moving forward. But what I didn't find out until later, much later actually, was that in between the time she had her appointment with us and the time that she told me she'd made the decision, she had actually made an abortion appointment. at the abortion facility.
And you can hear that music saying, we got to go to a break.
Yeah,
so we're
going to
find out what happened during that time. And then we're going to hear from, you know, Dr. Bodden on the leadership that he saw witnessed in this example. So I'm excited. Clearly not a narcissist. So we got so much more Kingdom Pursuits coming up. And somebody out there has got to know about this grass guy. Who couldn't stay off the grass, man? Oh, welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And we're so excited to have with us today Mary Holloman, the Communications Director at the Pregnancy Network. And their virtual gala is going on actually as we speak, and it's going to be going on through the 30th. There's a link there. You can go to ChristianCarGuy.com or you can go to thepregnancynetwork.com, either way. And you can watch that gala and get an opportunity to see some of these stories firsthand that we're talking about. So, you know, just a beautiful thing. And we also have with us Dr. Ricardo Bodden, and he wrote the book just out, which is also linked at ChristianCarGuy.com, Leadership in the Age of Narcissism. Now, I am sitting here looking at my call screen, and nobody has called in yet with this riddle, which we will repeat. Which leader in the Bible could not follow the directions to keep off the grass? He was a leader and a narcissist, I might add, and he just couldn't keep off the grass. 866-348-7884. By the way, you get this book, the wonderful book, Leadership in the Age of Narcissism. We got it. We want to send it out to you. 866-348-7884. I know I did not stump the panel with this particular question. I mean, come on. So, Mary, when we left our hero, oh, look at them. They're calling in like crazy now. When we left our hero, she was going to this appointment at the abortion clinic.
Right. Yeah, she had made an appointment, got to the parking lot, and couldn't get out of the car. She told me later that all she could think about was that heartbeat she had seen blipping on the screen. So she left. But then, crazily enough, she ended up making 5 more abortion appointments. She went back 5 more times because she was so torn. And every single time she sat in the parking lot and she pulled away. And so the 6th time she said she sat in the parking lot and a nurse came out and waved at her and said, come on in. And she kept thinking about that heartbeat, and she kept thinking about how she thought, you know what, maybe I actually do have another choice here because of her appointment at the Pregnancy Network, where she got to hear about things like pregnancy classes and parenting classes and practical ways we could help her. And so she said she put the car in reverse and she left. And she said that day she was like, I'm never coming back. And that's when she called me and told me, hey, I've decided to choose life. And the really cool thing about it was that after her son was born, I went over to her house, took some dinner, and she let me hold her son. And there's really nothing like, you know, holding a baby and looking at him and realizing he was almost aborted 6 different times on 6 occasions. And, you know, we hear numbers all the time about how, you know, 60 million people, more children have been aborted, or more than 3,000 women in the triad in 1 year. And it's easy for the numbers to get lost, but when you look and you see a face of a child and realize that this is who we're talking about, that's when it becomes real. So Janine later texted me about a year later, and she sent me a picture of herself in her cap and gown. And she said, I graduated with honors, and I did exactly what you said that I could do. And that's really what it's all about, you know, us helping women see that they can do it.
What a beautiful story. That the beautiful, you know, the neat thing about that particular story is that she not only chose life, but she chose to parent the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as I think about that, it's just an absolutely beautiful thing. My daughter was 17 when she had my granddaughter, and her husband messed around very quickly thereafter, and so she raised her daughter after she dropped out of high school, and went back, got her GED, went to nursing school at Forsyth Tech, which, because she was a single mom, she got all this stuff for free.
Right.
Which, as a single mom, you get stuff,
mm-hmm.
right?
Those options,
And so She went all the way through nursing school at Forsyth Tech as a single mom. Actually, she and her granddaughter, my granddaughter, got to stay at our house, so we had a blast raising Lila. And then she went on, after she got her nursing job at Baptist, they sent her back to school. So she went to UNCG, got her, you know, actual nursing, I should know the term, but, you know, she you know, graduate to all sorts of degrees.
Yeah.
And she had dropped out of high school.
I'm telling you, women are strong. And, you know, the abortion industry wants to tell women, hey, you can't handle being a mom and doing everything else. And that's just a lie. We believe women can be empowered to face their unplanned pregnancy, not just without fear, but to really thrive.
So as promised, doctor, tell us about the leadership skills you see in this interview.
There's leadership skills all over the place. Absolutely. Well, number one, it's absolutely wonderful to see wonderful people like you, Mary, step up and actually speak on behalf of the people who can't speak. So the unborn, the people who are making these decisions because of they're looking at the reality in their face. So number one, there's pregnancy centers and organizations of the like are full of people who just practice leadership, but they don't necessarily think they're leaders because they're just saying that, hey, I'm just going to work on a daily basis and I'm doing these things and we're just trying to just promote life and give women options, viable options, so they don't do this life-altering decision of abortion. So we're just doing our thing, but you don't realize that you are literally being the hands and feet of Christ in the earth. And actually champion the vision, if you will, and the notion of life to other people. So there's leadership all over the place.
Yeah, I really thought it's a beautiful example of it. But I'm curious, absolutely, in your book, because you got to write it, how fun is that? What's the chapter that you can just hardly wait? Man, I can hardly wait till people read this, because when I discovered this, when I was doing this research, it just blew my mind.
I would say the first point and the main point that's probably interwoven throughout the entire book would just be every Christian is called to be a leader. Every Christian is literally called to be a leader. And I know that sounds interesting just to give a glancing comment to talk about the whole swath, the whole grouping of the body of Christ, but it really is because there's scriptural references all throughout the Bible that every Christian is called to be a leader. And you basically, and the whole hallmark of the book is actually based on Matthew 28:19-20, which is pretty much the Great Commission. We all know that. We all use that scripture to talk about the commissioning of the church. And, you know, we're supposed to, you know, make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father,
right,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. But when you actually change your perspective, that's actually leadership in that very scripture. So, because you're saying make disciples of all nations, that's mentoring, that's coaching, that's assisting, that's living life with people. And when you say nations, that actually means an individual all the way to a people group. So the Lord is saying that I'm commissioning you, my church, my people, my hands and feet in the earth to actually be examples of me, examples of my word, examples of the principles that I've taught you and actually live them before other people. And that's pretty much the number one point that people fight me on. They say, no, I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm not called to be a vice president of a corporation. I'm not called to be a regional division chief in some organization. I'm just a stay-at-home parent. And I'm like, well, you're still called by God to touch somebody in some kind of way by living biblical principles first and foremost. And then as you live it, you actually are examples to other people fulfilling the Great Commission. So the Great Commission is not just about evangelism. It's about living, it's about teaching, it's about mentoring, it's about coaching, it's about guiding people and being the example in the earth. And a lot of times, believe it or not, a lot of times people try to shirk that responsibility. Just give it to the preachers. Just give it to the big people with these big graces of leadership. And there are people who have big, wonderful graces to lead huge swaths of people and organizations. But that does not absolve you, the stay-at-home mom, the stay-at-home dad, the stay-at-home you know, grandparent, the person who works at Jiffy Lube swapping tires and you know, right. It doesn't. It really doesn't. Because people serve me that all the time. Well, you know, I'm just a cashier. But you're still charged to win souls and make disciples because God is still calling you to be a leader.
Yeah, it's actually bigger than that. You know, from my perspective, everybody is called to be a king or a queen, like a rule. Like you are given authority. And if you look, you know, in the epistles, Paul's pretty clear. Like you have authority and you got to walk in that authority because there's all sorts of things that God's wanting you to fight for
Right.
All the time, as I listened to Mary's story, there was all sorts of battles that were going on, and I love what she said. They prayed. And you know, talk about, you know, something that you're calling on the leader of all leaders, right? Like, here's the guy that can actually carry the ball when I'm not there. And clearly he did, as I listened to the story in the car for six times, that, you know, I'm not wondering why she didn't go in there. There was the presence of God saying, don't do this. Hang on. Mm-hmm. Hang on. There's a better plan. And he uses wonderful people like Pregnancy Network to get there. Now, I have to tell you that there's not one, not two, not three, but four people that are going to vie for this book. So that have called in Dr. Bodden. So we may need some more books. We'll talk to your publisher. But anyway. I don't want any of them to leave me. I want everybody to get a chance at this because I really love to hear the different answers. So nobody, even though somebody else uses the answer that you were going to say, don't hang up, please, because I want to talk to you. I got somebody that actually is from Alaska but happens to be in North Carolina. Apparently, that would be Lucy. So we're going to get to her in a minute. But first caller was Asher in Franklinton, North Carolina. Asher, you're on the Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Asher, tell me about this grass character. He just couldn't keep off the grass.
You're talking about King Nebuchadnezzar when he was turned into an animal.
And those long nails, they've always grossed me out, you know.
That's the only one I know that liked grass.
He just couldn't stay off the grass. And that just had to be a scene. Yeah, you definitely won this. And he was a narcissist, was he not?
Yes, he was big time into himself, so God had to humble him.
So we got Ann and Lucy and Janice. Please don't hang out. We want to talk to you when we come back. We got more from, of course, Dr. Bodden and from Mary with the communications director of the Pregnancy Network and their gala, which you can go all these things at kingdompursuits.com. Stay tuned. We've got so much more coming up. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom, which, by the way, I always like to say that maybe you know somebody that's got a passion. You're like, man, they'd make a great guest on Kingdom Pursuits. My email's right there at kingdompursuits.com, as well as the gala or the book, you know, whatever you want to do. But I always love to hear, and some of the neatest guests are from listeners that suggested people that were really doing cool things that they see God doing. That's what the show's for, and that's what we would love to highlight. So don't hesitate to go to kingdompursuits.com and email me. I would love to hear from you no matter what. Meanwhile, I have my good friend Amy Cabo is on the line, and I'm going to get to these many riddlers here in just a minute. But first off, we have Amy. She is the host of The Cure, and her show is coming on at 1 o'clock on the Truth Network. And today, Amy, you have a Muslim who turned Christian is now working with Iranians, right?
Oh, yes, it's very interesting. And, Robbie, you seem to have a full house today. What an exciting show. Some people may not know this, but Christians are the most persecuted people in the world, or even mentioning his name can be a crime, and anyone can get killed for their faith. These are the silent sufferers who then become martyrs. But the spiritual movement is relentless and growing, especially in Iran, believe it or not. Thanks to Dr. Shariat, he's the founder of Iran Life Ministries, and he's helping convert hundreds and thousands of Muslims in Iran. And even here in the U.S., it's the biggest church. He claims that Muslims are responding to the gospel unlike any other time in history. And I wasn't aware of this.
Yeah, that's just absolutely wonderful, Amy. What a great show you've got lined up. It's on at 1 o'clock. It's live, so you can call into that show as well. Same number, 866-348-7884. Thank you, Amy. Have a great show.
Thank you, Robbie.
God bless. God bless. Bye-bye. All right, well, Lucy is in Alaska/North Carolina, so I got to hear about this. Lucy, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
So, Lucy, are you Alaskanian, or how do you say that?
Well, I'm Alaskan. And oh. Yes, my husband and I were both raised up there. Our family's moved up when we were a year old.
How fun. Wow. I've always wanted to go. Someday I need to visit. So there's not a lot of grass up there, I guess, but there is probably in the summer, maybe.
We can have beautiful summers or kind of cool and wet, but right now there's snow up there.
Yeah, I'll bet. So which king or which leader in the Bible did you think that couldn't stay off the grass?
King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Daniel interpreted it.
Oh, yeah, he definitely did, and then he got narcissistic on us. But it's very interesting. I love the fact that he wrote, Nebuchadnezzar himself, you know, wrote the passage after the grass incident. Where it gives us insight that really is pretty unique from the time period of, you know, somebody that actually was not a Jew, but a, you know, I guess what you want to call a Gentile, and got to see what God could do, you know, there. Just an amazing story.
Yes, it is. Well, amazing what God does, and he uses non-Christians and non-Christians.
Lucy, have you ever had a grass-eating experience?
Well, I'm not sure I could refer to it, but that, like that. But yeah, I was totally broken when the Lord called me to Him, and He has been totally faithful. I've been serving the Lord for about 44 years now.
You know, me too. I think we all have had that, so we can really, really relate, even though we can't spell His name. But thank you, Lucy. God bless. Appreciate you calling in today. So next up, we got Ann is in Richmond, Virginia. Hello, Ann.
Hello, Robbie. How are you doing this morning?
I am excited to talk to Richmond this morning, listening on WLES up there.
Yes, sir.
We are so grateful for you listening. And so who are you thinking might be this grass eater?
Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah. That was... Have you had a grass eating?
It's very funny in the case of... I have some friends, and every time we say, well, what are you having for dinner? And we say, you're having salad. And we say, oh, you're being Nebuchadnezzar again. Because you're eating all the greens.
Well, the one thing I'm convinced, personally, that people that eat asparagus... I mean, this...
And kale.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Oh, terrible.
So, Ann, do you have a grass-eating experience?
I would say I do. I know all of us have to come to the end of ourselves before we can rely on the Lord and truly lean on Him and let His Spirit indwell in us. And so, yeah, I would say definitely. Yeah, definitely have been to the bottom, and he leads me back up every day.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, we get down there quite often in the Valley of Humiliation, no doubt. But I forget where I heard the sermon years ago about Jesus broke the bread after he blessed it, and then he could use it, you know? And so that's kind of how that works. But, Ann, thank you for calling and for listening to Richmond. We so appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you.
Have a blessed day.
You too. God bless. So next we got Janice is in Charlotte. So we got quite a variety here today. Janice, welcome. You're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Hey, Robbie. This is Janice Sunshine Young.
All right. And I can tell.
Our sunshine and butterflies.
In order to have grass, we got to have sunshine. There's
That's right. And butterflies.
There you go. There you go. So I'm guessing, well, you go ahead and tell me who your guest was, because I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, I was saying King Nebuchadnezzar also, because I call him King Nebby for short.
I'm sure he likes that. We'll get to meet him up there. I'm going to check it out. Are you okay with King Nebby? So how about you? Have you had a grass eater experience?
I'm sure I probably have. I'm sure that's where that book came out of, from a grass-eating experience. But I will say, you know, yesterday and this morning, I did have some kale.
Well, that's very true. And, you know, John Bunyan said a very wonderful thing. I think Dr. Bodden will love this, that the grass is much greener in the valley of humiliation. Mm-hmm. Because the soil is much richer for us to dig our roots in. Because, you know, once we've been humbled, like in this case Nebuchadnezzar was, you know, there's a lot more that we can learn once we empty out the vessel. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Definitely.
Well, you two
we
are,
got to do that.
You two are a winner, Janice. Thank you for calling in. I so appreciate it. And for you listening,
oh, you're welcome.
On WCRU in Charlotte. So God bless you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So if you got another story for us, Mary?
Share it.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, so just a little context. At the Pregnancy Network, we offer three levels of service. So the first thing that we do for a woman who's facing an unplanned pregnancy is we offer free medical services. That can be pregnancy tests, limited ultrasounds, or STD testing and treatment. The next level we offer is education, so those parenting classes, pregnancy classes, community referrals, things of that nature. Our third level is mentorship. So we have a mentor program called Connect, and what we do is we connect a woman who is interested with a woman in a local church, and the goal is to help help her enter into a lifelong or a long-term healthy support network.
Yeah, community.
Yeah, and so we really believe if a woman progresses through all three of those levels, she'll be empowered to move forward with her life. So anyway, we had a woman come to us, and she was pregnant and very unsure about what she was going to do. The father did not want to be involved. She received a pregnancy test, ultrasound, and went to our classes. So she was progressing through our three levels of service, and she chose life. Which we were very excited about. She signed up for our mentorship program. And what happened after that was a really cool thing. But I know it sounds like we're going on a break. So
yeah, we've timed it once more. just, don't go into Kmart. Don't go into Walmart. We got the rest of the story. Wes, we got Dr. Bodden's, you know, explanation of the leadership involved, not to mention his take on Nebuchadnezzar or King Nebi, depending on how you want to look at that. We got so much more. Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, again, we have with us Mary Holloman with the Pregnancy Network. They're headquartered in Greensboro, but they are branching out into Winston-Salem and all over the Triad. And their virtual gala is going on now through Friday the 30th. You can go to their website, pregnancynetwork.com or Kingdom Pursuits, and get it. And Dr. Ricardo's book, of course, Leadership in the Age of Narcissism. You know, we've helped sell 5 copies. This morning already.
So, appreciate it.
We do.
Keep up the good work.
When we left our hero, Mary, in this case, this other lady who was at joined the, and I love the community because, right, if you put people, it's part of that discipleship, is what Dr. Bodden was talking about, is, you know, you surround people with community and they have, you know, a support system.
Yeah, exactly. What we don't want is to say to a woman, hey, choose life, have a good life. We'll see you never. What we want to do is give her that community that she can walk through life with. They can do that together. So the cool thing about this woman was that I was actually at my church one Sunday, and it was my Sunday to work in the children's ministry. So I was in a classroom, and this woman comes around, and she's passing out some like flyers for each class, and I realized she was another volunteer. And we exchanged some words and spoke. And as she walked away, I looked at her and I was like, wait a minute. That is totally the woman who went to the Pregnancy Network. And the cool thing was her mentor that she had been paired with went to my church. And that mentor had thrown a baby shower for her and invited her into her home and gotten her involved as a volunteer in the children's ministry at our church. And she had previously not been connected to a church. So it was just really neat to see how that ended, how we were able to meet her. She chose life, and she was connected with a lifelong friend and the community of the local body of Christ.
Absolutely beautiful. And Dr. Bodden, you know, we see 2 Corinthians chapter 1 come all the time. Like, you know, the comfort that she was comforted with, now she can disciple others, right? That's the beauty of what you're teaching.
Absolutely. And her story is great. That shows you how much further can you go in life if you have backup, if you have support, if you have community. I mean, just think about a cop going into a building in a dangerous situation. How much better prepared could you be? So when it comes to things such as pregnancies, when it comes to things such as, you know, the COVID time frame, and all the things that people are going through in their head, the headspace, you know, the anxiety, the fear, the trauma of the moment, how much further could you be if you had a great organization or a great pool of friends who can give you some backup? So this phenomenal story. I'm actually being blown away by everything that you're saying, Mary, because you're talking about serving people, which is servant leadership all throughout the Bible, and you're also talking about mentorship. And mentorship is an aspect, many people don't know this, is an aspect of leadership. It's like coaching, it's mentoring, it's walking alongside somebody. And just like you said, Robbie, it's about discipleship and walking through life with somebody, and people's lives are literally being changed by just you walking with them and saying, hey, you are not alone, you're not going through this by yourself. We're going to be here, we're going to support you, we're going to pray for you, we're going to stand with you, and we're going to offer you free services on top of that to make your load a little bit lighter. So this is wonderful, wonderful stuff.
Yeah, it really is. And Doctor, I know we don't have much time left, but I wanted to give you a minute to share. There was probably something on your heart you wanted to get shared today, and I don't want to not give you an opportunity to do that.
Well, thank you so much. And by the way, Robbie, a happy pre-birthday, because I know that's coming. I don't want to be the first one to get that in before I forget. But one of the main things I want to talk about is that self-leadership is the basis for all leadership. This point is also interwoven all throughout the book. The book partly was written to develop a generation of biblically based Christian leaders, not just leaders who just learn secular leadership in corporate America and try to use it in the church or try to use it in their own individual Christian lives, but no, biblically based leadership. So self-leadership is the basis for all leadership. So I challenge people that I'm mentoring or coaching to say, hey, before you try to tell everybody else what to do, how about you follow your own instructions for your own life? How about you follow your own instructions before you try to lead your family, before you try to lead your team, or before you try to lead an organization? So, you know, you're just like, son, pick up the clothes off the floor. But you have your clothes all over the floor. It's practical stuff. Son,
do you know my wife? Is that that's what? Do you have inside information here, doctor?
Absolutely. We spoke before the call. So it's that self-leadership that is actually lacking in so many areas because people want to put the leadership on somebody else, on some other organization. But I try to challenge people to say, hey, matter of fact, I was talking to a guy the other day, and this is no joke. He actually said this to me, and I was laughing on the inside, not on the outside. He said, my wife actually doesn't trust me. And I was like, well, why doesn't she trust you? He says, because I never pay the bills that I'm supposed to be paying, and I never do what I'm supposed to do. And I said, okay, so when are you going to start paying your bills? And when are you going to start doing what you said you're going to do? I mean, I just asked him. It's like we were playing tennis. And then I said, okay, I said, to make this practical, at the end of today, you will text me when you have paid the bills, since you said you have the money, and when you will do some of the things that you said that you're going to do. Because, of course, she doesn't trust you because you're not following through on the principle of self-leadership is the basis for all leadership. It's really hard to lead your home when you don't practice it yourself.
There you go. Well, Mary, it's been just a delight, absolutely delight to have both of you and Dr. Bodden on with me today. As I mentioned, go to kingdompursuits.com to get his, you can tell that book's going to be a keeper. Find out about the gala or how you may want to connect with the Pregnancy Network. I know that volunteering leads to great things, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. More leaders.
More leaders. So speaking of leadership, right now I want to lead you to stay tuned to the Truth Network because you got encouraging prayer followed by the masculine journey. Nikita Koloff's daughter is on Man Up. You don't want to miss that. So much truth coming at you on the Truth Network.